This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show! You made it! You're here!
We made it.
We've all made it. It is November 30th. If you're listening to this on drop day, which means we are one day away from December.
We are so close.
We've almost made it, folks. This is episode number 14 of season 3 of the Christmas Countdown Show. My name is Eric Peterson. I'm here with my very good buddy, Danny Jordan.
Hola.
We are coming to you live from Southern California. Hot, hot Southern California.
It is hot.
Golly, I wish it was
I know.
Hot.
Why'd you go hoodie again today?
I love this hoodie.
It is a great hoodie.
It's a Chicago one.
You are showing a lot of pride.
A lot of pride in my hometown. But yeah, welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show. This is our 5 through 1 of our top 10 songs about Santa Claus.
Yes.
So we're very excited about that because we had a very good list of 10 through 6.
Anytime we do songs.
We love songs.
Love them so much. We find like every possible tweak we can put
to talk about more songs.
To talk about more songs. Because really we just want every record label's attorney to have us on their radar. That is really our our mission here. Yeah.
That is true.
Universal, but, you know, Warner, all of them. Yeah.
I think people like these episodes.
They do.
Seemingly. We like these episodes because we're passionate about music, I think.
Yeah.
Both of us. And I think we're passionate particularly about Christmas music.
I would agree.
I feel like both of us enjoy music. We're definitely not like novices to music, but I also don't want to speak for you, but I don't feel like we're like major music heads in just like music in general.
Right.
I definitely listen to music. I listen to radio. I'm like, it's an odd thing to be like, hey, you like music? Yeah, everybody likes music, right? But I think that Danny and I really specifically enjoy Christmas music, old Christmas music, new Christmas music. We dig the way that it makes us feel, the way that it fills a house when you're decorating and you're getting ready for the holidays. So bear with us because we enjoy these music lists.
Well, think about it. Like when it is the holiday season.
Yeah.
It feels like Christmas music in some capacity is the background.
Absolutely.
To your space. Whether you're decorating, whether you're baking something, whether you're driving your kids to school in the morning, or you're like going to a holiday concert or you're singing Christmas carols at church or whatever it might be, is like Christmas music is one of those things that's just part of the fabric of the holiday season. And I feel like what's great about music is that, you know, we learned this in our last episode with the one-star reviews about, you know, Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Is that like movies, like you may not be super into like comedies like National Lampoon's, or you maybe don't like Love Actually or whatever it is, but like music across the board feels like anyone can find a connection or enjoyment out of most Christmas songs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, like I rarely hear a Christmas song. There's a few that I don't really care for, but rarely do I hear a Christmas song and I go, what a piece of trash.
Yeah, what a waste of my time.
Don't ever play this song for me ever again.
Yeah.
So I think that's why these music countdowns are so great, is it's something that we can all relate to. And it's fun, I think, I'm sort of putting myself into the mind of the listener right now, is that maybe the perspectives that we bring up or like little things about these songs that stand out to us, they've never noticed before.
Totally.
Or, you know, we've had so many people who've messaged us and are like, gosh, thanks for talking about J.D. McPherson or Jamie Cullum or whomever it is. I never heard of them until this show.
I definitely get a big kick out of introducing a new artist or a new song to our listeners and people responding to it and really being like, whoa, that's so cool. Like, I always thought that was the coolest thing, even when I was in high school, if somebody would be like, hey, listen to this band.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa, I've never heard of that. Like, I respected that person so much for like introducing me to like a whole new world of thoughts and feelings and emotions. And I remember there, because when I was growing up and I was very young, I listened to like R&B and like Boys to Men and stuff like that.
112, that sort of stuff.
112, you know, that stuff. And I had no real connection to like punk rock or rock and roll in any way. Yeah. And I was at a Boy Scout summer camp, and I remember there was a guy, I wish I could remember what his name was, who was like one of the older counselors. And I was probably in, I don't know, sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that. And he was like, dude, this is Green Day. And like played me Dookie, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And like, I had been listening only to like Boys to Men and R&B, and then I was like, punk rock is my world, you know?
And I feel like it's been like a huge part of your world.
Huge part of my
ever
life.
Ever since.
Yes.
Isn't that fun?
And it all comes back to this one, you know, camp counselor who was like, dude, you're going to like this. I remember he played me Green Day. He played me the Meat Puppets, which is like a,
what
punk,
a funny name.
Very odd, you know, they were like sort of influential in Nirvana. Nirvana would play Meat Puppets songs.
Okay.
He played me a little bit of Nirvana. And I think those were like the three big ones, but Green Day was sort of my, and it's funny because now all of the music that I even listen to this day, I can track back. If I really go like, you know, let's say I love Tyler Childers right now. He's sort of a alt country kind of Americana folky guy.
Okay.
And I like him because I listened to the Avett Brothers, and I listened to the Avett Brothers because they were sort of bluegrassy, which made me think of this band.
Mm.
And I liked that band because I was into this band, and that band because I listened to Green Day. Like I can track the whole, like my whole sort of musical fandom and journey all back to like that one day where he was, I remember him sliding across the picnic table, like, this is Dookie. And I was like,
this is gonna blow your mind.
I remember, wait till you see this kid.
In my seventh grade yearbook, there was some girl, I remember she was like a huge fan of Green Day. She wore like Green Day shirts to school all the time. And she like signed her name, like, you know, have a great summer. P.S. Green Day rocks.
Yes.
Like that. Just the things that we, like, she needed to let me know.
Just let you know.
That, like, I love Green Day. You know, a fun game I used to play when I was younger, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I used to love to try to come up with, like, what would the opposite band name be for groups? So, like, Green Day would be, like, Blue Knight.
Sure, yeah.
You know, or, like, Limp Bizkit would be, like, Stiff Pastry.
Uh-huh.
You know, that sort of stuff.
Stiff Pastry.
Yeah. Speaking of things that I'm circling back to, there was something that I wanted to talk about in a recent episode that I didn't mention.
Okay.
So, you know, we just had the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is, like, a big tradition. I don't know if it's like broadcast around the world. I would guess that maybe other countries see it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely on YouTube.
So if you're around the world and you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you know what I'm talking about. But it was pretty darn cool. So, you know, I've sort of like teased this a little bit and sort of talked around it a little bit throughout this season, is I'm getting to do something that I've dreamed of doing.
Very cool.
Ever since the first time I went to see a Broadway musical, which was Mary Poppins. I went with my family right around the holidays years ago, back in 2009. And I remember sitting in the theater thinking, I want to be a part of this. Yeah. I want to help other people feel what I'm feeling sitting in this room right now, because this is super special. And I didn't know what the road was going to look like. And 14 years later, I get to say I'm a co-producer of a brand new Broadway musical.
Yeah.
And one that I care a lot about the story of, and I think is going to connect with a lot of people, and I think it's going to change the landscape of Broadway. But our show was selected to perform on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and it was just such a special thing.
Tell them what the show's called.
So the show's called How to Dance in Ohio. It is based on an award-winning, the Peabody Award-winning documentary of the same name that premiered on HBO back in 2015 about a group of young adults who are all a part of this same like family sort of counseling center in Columbus, Ohio. All of these young adults are on the autism spectrum, and Dr. Amigo, who runs Amigo Family Counseling, basically says, I think we need to throw a dance.
Yep.
And sort of like to challenge these kids and help them to grow, you know, in terms of like their ability to communicate and to organize and work together in a social experience, all that. And it's this really beautiful story, not just about the kids, but their families. And what's really amazing about our show is that the seven leads are characters with autism, but the actors who are playing them are also on the spectrum as well. And our standbys or, you know, and swings or, you know, who need to cover those roles are on the spectrum as well. And it's just, it's really amazing to be a part of this and to, you know, it's a really wild, you know, to think back to when we first started this show and talking about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and how it like is something I love watching that now I'm like connected to it in a whole new way. Is really special. So if you guys didn't get to see that performance, you know, just go on YouTube and, you know, or go to, you know, search How to Dance in Ohio on Instagram, and there's clips everywhere to check it out. And we open on December 10th on Broadway. I'll be there in 10 days.
My gosh.
Which is crazy. Like,
dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm still trying to decide, like, what does one wear to, like, a...
Can I help?
Please.
Yes.
Please help me, because I was like, I guess I'll just get my suit pressed.
No.
Do I have to, like,
a new suit?
I need a new suit.
You need a new suit.
I don't have a lot of time.
That's okay.
Can you help me?
Yes.
Please. Because I was like, do I, like, tie into, like, the colors of the show in
some
way?
Sure. Yeah.
Or maybe, like, the costumes that are involved, because, you know, it's all centered around a dance. Like, should it be a tuxedo sort of vibe? Yeah. You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
I think, here's what I envision.
Okay.
It's a navy blue suit.
Mm.
With a velvet lapel.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Your shirt is going to be yellow because that's sort of the main color of the show, of the artwork, at least for the show.
Yeah.
But it's going to be ruffled, like a 70s ruffle shirt. And then you're going to have a big navy blue fat bow tie.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited about this. Where do I get these things?
I will send you links.
Because I'm guessing Macy's doesn't sell
them. No, not at Macy's. No, this is going to be some ordering, but you're going to be able to get it in time. Don't worry.
Oh, and then I'll post some pictures in the Patreon group so people can see me there. But yeah, I'll be there and I'll get to, you know, hang out with your old friend from the Shrek days, which is exciting. And it's amazing. So it's really surreal and awesome. And I'm grateful for so many reasons, and I'm excited because while I'm there, I'm going to go see the tree in, you know, Rockefeller, which they just lit last night.
Yeah, which Kelly Clarkson hosted the special.
She's so good.
She's so great.
Yeah.
I love her. I was reading about it because I think she did her talk show was out here in LA.
Right.
But this last year, she moved the talk show to New York.
Right, at 30 Rock, right?
At 30 Rock, yeah. So now she's like really in that 30 Rock family of hosting all. I'm sure she'll do an SNL and all.
Oh, yeah. I feel like her star is just continuing to rise. Yeah. And you were sharing with me earlier that this was the 20th anniversary of her first performance.
At the tree.
At the tree lighting.
Yeah, from 2003 so cool. After American Idol.
Isn't it wild how many things right now feel like they're in a 20-year cycle? Yeah. Like Elf?
Yep.
Just had its 20-year, Kelly Clarkson, 20 years. Yep. I don't know.
Christmas Story, 40 years.
40 years, which is...
220s.
You know, 220s. I wonder, does that mean we're about to start a new cycle of like all the things that were cool back then coming back around again?
Maybe. I mean, fashion is definitely that way.
Elf 2?
Yeah, but remember they said they
can't do
it. He didn't want to do it.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Will Ferrell, because he read a script and he said it was like,
Yeah,
that great.
Because
it's got to be so good.
It's got to blow it out of the water. Yeah. And plus, you know, he got to do Spirited, which was super fun. And, but yeah, all things Christmas are happening. And speaking of New York, I do have some Christmas news to share.
Christmas news.
We interrupt our program to bring you this
Christmas news. I said that exactly the same way as I said on that. Christmas news.
Oh, amazing. So we have one piece, or actually two pieces of Christmas news that I want to share with you all right now. Recently, Time Out Magazine did a story that revealed that Bryant Park is named the best Christmas market in the world.
Whoa.
Which is amazing. And they were named this by an organization called Planet Cruise.
Okay.
So there were a bunch of other like European markets. Now, I was surprised. I do believe that Bryant Park has an incredible Christmas market that I've walked around a couple times. We've talked about it before, the ice skating.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like when I see all these images of a lot of the markets over in like Germany and Austria and stuff, like with the carousels and Ferris wheels and all this sort of stuff, I would expect them to beat out Bryant Park.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a magic to New York City, though.
There is. You're
that
right.
That is undeniable, especially at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I think I obviously I don't know because we are Americans, so it's hard for us to speak for other cultures and other countries. But I think that even if you were from London or Germany or Australia or China, New York City at the holidays is iconic.
Yeah, I do agree. You know, when you read into this article, it looks like Planet Cruise based its findings on six factors.
Okay.
Which were number of stalls,
mm-hmm.
and when you look at Bryant Park, like they have the most by a pretty substantial amount, 180 stalls.
Woo.
That's wild. The open dates, it has the most open dates of any Christmas market in the world, or at least the top 10 list. The TripAdvisor ratings, TripAdvisor reviews, Google search volume, and Instagram hashtag data. So they really factored in
a lot of stuff,
a lot of things. But I think you are right, is that, you know, so many people in the U.S. may not be able to travel over to Europe for the Christmas market. So like New York is a great place to travel for the holidays, from the Rockefeller tree to the Rockettes, all the things.
Would you call it your favorite New York Christmas market?
I think it's the only Christmas market I've been to in New York. Mm. Yeah.
The one that's in Columbus Circle is really good. I love that one.
Where is it at in Columbus Circle? Is it in...
Kind of just on the edge of Central Park.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check that out.
You know that kind of area, like... So you have the circle that has the Columbus statue, but then like just inside of the circle, there's kind of like... There's a fountain-y kind of thing there. Kind of all right in there they do.
Where they usually like rent bikes in the summer and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to go look for that because that's one of my favorite like parts little of New York to walk through in the holidays because you have all those beautiful snowflakes that are hanging inside the shops at Columbus Circle. Yep. And then you just walk all along Central Park South, end at Fifth Avenue, and you got the Plaza Hotel, which is obviously, as we know, where Kevin McAllister stays. And then you walk down Fifth Avenue and you see all the beautiful window displays and then you get down to where Rockefeller is. Oh, it's just that I'm going to be doing it in a couple of weeks. And then also, I don't know how we haven't chatted about this yet, but Mariah Carey is on tour.
She is.
For the holidays.
Yeah.
The tour is called Merry Christmas One and All. And it's been going on for about 15 days now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, it looks like she is in Detroit. Then she goes to Chicago, Pittsburgh.
Detroit,
Michigan. Did I say Detroit?
You're like, she's in Detroit.
Do you say Detroit?
Detroit, yeah.
Detroit. But Detroit down to Houston. They don't say Detroit. then Chicago, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, New York, Boston, Philly, Baltimore, and then back to New York again. She's playing MSG. Multiple times. So if you've been dying to see Mariah on tour, now is the time. Looks like she's going to a lot of places that people could make their way to, and you can hear her maybe sing all of those like iconic tracks. I don't know.
I was gonna say something to the effect of you could go pay a bunch of money to sit and watch her recordings, or you could sit at home and listen to it. And it's probably the same.
That's true, but there's nothing like being there live.
And let's be honest, it's not like Mariah Carey can't sing anymore.
Correct.
She can. Her range is not what it was.
Neither is mine.
So she definitely works a little bit with a track, but a lot of professional singers do. So not the end of the world.
I do that regularly.
That's right.
I'm always working. But part of being a semi-professional singer is always having a track playing behind you that sounds better than what you're singing.
Absolutely. Ask Milli Vanilli. that was cold and catty, and I apologize.
Cool.
All right, folks. I have a fun little game that I'd like to try with you.
Ooh, Danny. I love games.
So I saw this list. It was a map of the United States, and it was listing, this is from tasteofhome.com.
Okay.
They're an authority on food and desserts and things like that.
Like us with everything Christmas.
With everything. Yeah, everything Christmas. and they said what the favorite Christmas treats were of each state in the country. Mm. And so I'm going to toss out a few of these treats, and I want to see if you can maybe identify which state they would be associated with.
I think I can do this.
Okay.
I do a lot of traveling.
There are a lot of repeats, so some of them will be on multiple places.
Is Detroit on there?
Detroit is in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
Cool. Do you want to guess what Michigan's is to start off the bat?
Is that how we're doing it? I have to guess what?
No, I'll say what it is. That'll be too hard.
Okay.
Okay. There are quite a few that have peppermint chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh.
Which states do you think have peppermint chocolate chip cookies?
Peppermint chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with somewhere that feels evergreen, like maybe Maine.
Maine is chocolate truffles.
What about Oregon?
Let's see. Oregon. Close. Oregon's this one, right? It's the one below Washington.
Yes.
They're peppermint bark.
Oh.
So you were close.
Okay.
That's close.
Okay. I get one more try.
Yeah. Go south a little.
Maybe south of there, Southern California, or just California in
California,
general.
California peppermint like chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
Is the top one.
I would have never guessed that.
Do you know which other ones have? Minnesota.
Okay.
Texas. And that's it.
Okay.
But peppermint chocolate chip cookies.
I don't know if I've ever seen a peppermint chocolate
chip. There is a road almost through the U.S. that has pudding. As many as 4, just pudding. 4 states have pudding, and they're all in a row.
Okay. I'm going to guess Tennessee.
Yes.
Because we just had banana pudding
there.
That's
right.
Okay.
Yes, that's good thinking.
So Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay. We're testing my geography now.
This is good.
Okay.
Might as well. I'm looking at this.
Would that be Should I go further north?
Yep.
So like
right above
Ohio?
Kentucky, but a little bit left.
Oh, wait, left. Yep. That would be next to Ohio is Illinois? No.
Between Illinois and Ohio is?
Michigan.
Nope, no. That's north.
That's north. Wait, between Ohio and Illinois is, what state is there?
These poor people.
Oh my gosh.
The poor Hoosiers. Wait. The poor Hoosiers are just
Indiana.
Like, how could you?
Oh, Indiana, yes.
Indiana.
I'm sorry.
Okay, and then there's one more, south a little bit of Tennessee.
Of Tennessee, is that Alabama?
That would be, but that's not the answer.
Arkansas.
Nope.
Georgia.
A little left.
Oklahoma.
More right now.
Louisiana.
Yes, Louisiana. There you go. Those were the four. Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Louisiana have pudding.
Pudding.
I'll do one more for you.
Okay.
Red velvet pound cake.
Red velvet pound cake. It's wild that it's not something more common.
Yeah.
These feel very specific. Red velvet pound cake. This feels like... Would this be Southern, you think? Yeah.
We got a whole little...
Okay. Is it going to be like South Carolina?
Nope. They're fruitcake.
Ooh, that's shocking.
Yeah.
But not so much because they're on
South
the eastern
and
seaboard.
South and North Carolina are both fruitcake. Yeah.
Which I guess tracks because they're on the eastern seaboard in connection to like Europe maybe from there.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. So
but you're
it is...
close.
So Georgia?
Georgia.
Okay.
Red velvet pound cake.
Okay.
And then to the left is...
That would be Alabama.
Alabama.
Okay.
And then to the left is
Arkansas.
Mississippi.
Mississippi, of course. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Which one's Arkansas? All right. This is Louisiana.
Arkansas.
That's Louisiana.
Isn't that
Mississippi?
No. Is that Mississippi?
Yeah. That's got to be Mississippi. That's got to be Arkansas. That's Georgia. What? Where's Alabama?
It's one of those, isn't it?
Wait a second here.
I gotta pull
this
up
is embarrassing.
I gotta pull up a U.S. map here real quick.
Alabama is next to Georgia.
Okay.
And then next to Alabama is Mississippi.
So where's Arkansas?
Arkansas is landlocked. It's above Mississippi a little bit and above Louisiana.
I'm trying to pull up a map.
Oh, that's Arkansas? Here. Cheesecake.
Where's Arkansas? Oh, Arkansas's cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
This is fun.
This is good.
I want everyone to pull out their maps and play along.
This is fun. let me see if there's any other interesting ones that you'll be like, where's that? What do you think it is in Hawaii?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have to guess what it is?
Yes.
Something with macadamia nuts in it, maybe?
No.
No? Okay.
Good guess, though.
Something with a roll, maybe?
No, it's a cheesecake, a flavor of cheesecake.
Oh. Would it be...
I'll give you a hint.
Oh, wait, what was that? You're cracking something and pulling it out? Is that like an egg?
I think I know what it is. That's so weird.
Oh, is it? What is it? What? I wish people could see this. I want
what
people
I'm
to
doing is
watch
I'm
this.
Taking something.
And you're cracking
I'm
it apart. Coconut?
Spinning it. I'm spinning
avocado?
It and breaking it.
No.
And then I'm licking one.
Spinning
half
it and breaking it.
Yeah.
Oreo cookies.
Oreo.
Is it really?
Wow. Oreo cheesecake is the number one favorite Christmas treat in Hawaii.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I totally thought you were going like a fruit.
Yeah, that was
of some
that
sort
was an Oreo.
There. Okay.
There, here's the last one that's kind of funny. Washington's favorite Christmas treat, Skittles.
What?
That doesn't make any sense.
No. Who made this list? I feel like they're like, let's just put
taste
a bunch of
home.
Random
taste
stuff.
Taste of home.
Wow.
There you go.
I want everyone in Washington to chime in and let us know. Why are Skittles? Is it big up there, or did someone lie? That's what I want to know. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Eric... Now, this is thrilling. You know, we always love when we have guests who will come hang out with us on the show. And you know, last week, you and I, we were sharing our top five tips, tricks, hacks for the holiday season. I think we had some great lists. And we're so fortunate in that we have a close friend of the show who professionally does these sorts of things exactly. Tips, tricks, hacks. And she is a huge Christmas fan. And she's a longtime fan of the show, and she's joining us here on Christmas Countdown. Everyone, please welcome from holidayfoodandfun.com, Chandice Probst. Chandice, how are you?
Woo! Chandice!
Thank you so much for having me. What a dream come true.
So good to see you. Chandice, you've been a longtime fan of the show. How did you first discover us?
Oh man, because I thought I was the biggest Christmas fan in the world until I found you two. And I was just looking at podcasts and I literally typed in Christmas and you came up. And from then on, you know, I signed up Patreon, the highest level. I So I did everything I possibly could to be your number one fan.
Aww. We are so happy. Janice, you really have been the best. Janice has been helping us out with brand partnerships, and she's been sending us lots of fun gifts and goodies and stuff like that. You know, I have to tell you, Janice, I used one of your blog posts as one of my entries on what list was that, Danny? It was foods. Did we do a foods list?
We did desserts. Is that what
It was the desserts list. You posted a really cool thing where you put stuffing into like cupcake molds, and then you put mashed potatoes over the top like it was whipped cream. And I was like, that's like the greatest thing I ever seen. I'm going to try to do it for Thanksgiving in a couple days.
Yay. Oh, what an honor. That makes me so happy. You know, I created that recipe like 12 years ago, back before it was like blogging.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, there was no SEO, but I deleted it because I was told it doesn't have SEO juice. And I was like, I'm bringing it back. I like that. I brought it back recently, and it's so fun to serve because you put the chive sprinkles on.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like it.
It's brilliant. Do you do a version of it, or can people do a version of that recipe where they do sort of like a gravy over the top, almost like sort of like a chocolate sauce?
Yes. That would be really a beautiful shot too, to be pouring it over.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be like the caramel on top of the cupcake.
Mm. You know? Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, but yeah, brilliant. It's delicious. You make your stuffing and put it in the tins, pull them out. And it's such a soft, yummy stuffing, savory cupcake as well. And then you just put that mashed potato on, and then gravy would be great.
Mm. Well, we're big fans of what you're doing at holidayfoodandfun.com, and people can follow along. You know, we know we have a lot of people who love to, you know, follow pages on Instagram, various socials that are holiday specific. They can follow you at holidayfoodandfun on Instagram. I'm curious, like, what was it that sort of like drew you to recipes and just sort of like hacks and how to's in the holiday space specifically?
Yeah, well, I started a holiday blog 15, 16 years ago, or sorry, a regular food blog 15, 16 years ago after I got diagnosed with celiac disease and found out I was gluten-free, and just decided to go headfirst into that. And my mom and I wrote a cookbook and did a tour with Barnes & Noble. It was so fun, and I had so much fun with that. But it's been 15 years. I kind of feel like gluten-free is just part of who I am now, where holidays and creating the magic, I realized, like you guys did, there's so many people who want to create holiday magic but don't know how. And so I thought, there is no other blog that does all the holidays. There's maybe like a Halloween blog or a Christmas blog, but not that does all of them. And Christmas is my favorite, so it's definitely the reigning champion on the but I just decided to take all the magic that my mom made growing up. She was truly, before Pinterest, she was Pinterest in her mind. Mm. She created the most magical memories and moments my brothers and sisters and I still talk about. And I just wanted to share that with my kids, but then also help other families experience that.
I saw That's a meme amazing. Just the other day that said, I'm now realizing as an adult that all of those magical memories that I had as a child were really my parents putting in tons of work to create those for me. Like, you don't really realize it when you're a kid. You're just like, whoa, the house looks awesome. Christmas is great. But you don't realize like the hours that your parents are putting up decorations and getting up on the roof and doing all that stuff. So yeah, it's, I love that you did that sort of as a homage to your parents, which is really, very, very cool.
Well, thank you.
I love that.
And the funniest, I have a sweatshirt that says Mrs. Claus, but married to the Grinch, because I don't know how I married the least holiday-centric person.
Oh, no.
So my whole life goal is also to get him culminated to the person who loves the holidays. I'm getting him closer, as you can see, like our bedroom. And me do it all, but one day he'll want to do it.
I love
That's
that.
Amazing. We'll you just have deny. Him... You know, keep listening to our show and slowly we'll get him to make the transition over. So Chandice, as we shared, you know, at the beginning, you know, last week, Eric and I shared like our top five, each of our top five tips, tricks, hacks for the holiday season. But we wanted to bring you in because you really are an authority in this space. So we would love for you to share with our listeners right now your 5-1 tips and tricks for how to thrive at the holiday season.
Perfect. I'm so excited. Okay. So I watch this show, so I know how it goes. We're starting with five. We're working on
yes. Thank you. Janice, I guess I got to say before you even start, thank you for doing that. Because we, as our listeners know, we have had guests that have come onto the show who just don't understand the format, that we're doing a top 10 or a top 5 list, and we start at the end and we're work to number 1. Seems pretty self-explanatory to me and Danny, but you know, some people don't get it. So thank you very much, Janice, for coming.
That's amazing.
Well, the whole point is it's working towards that number 1. We know that feeling. So number 5 for me is plan ahead. My Making Christmas Magical book, this is not mine, this is my friend's, but it comes out in September, and I start going through and I'm saying, okay, we're planning out things that we're going to do. We're planning out charities we're going to support. We're planning sometimes I'm pretty classic with my decorations because I'm so nostalgic. I don't like to change it up, but sometimes I'll say, all right, we're going to get a few new decorations for this room or something.
Yeah.
But it's a whole planning. For me, this is mine.
What is that book called?
So this is Making Christmas Magical. My friend Tony from Design Dazzle, she created it and she has it on her blog, and I'll give you guys a link for everything I should tell you. But and she was so cute. This was her printed version, and we were at an event together and she saw the twinkle in my eyes just staring at it. I was like, oh my gosh. And she goes, Candace, you need this more than I do.
What a friend.
Only copy, and she said, yeah, it's my only copy, it's my special one. And I'm like, so
that's awesome.
She made a magical moment for me as an adult in that.
Aww.
So, but it has so many fun things because it has all of like things to make, it has your calendars, it has ideas for all I want for Christmas, you know, all these different printables. So this is the printed version, but there's also a digital version. Wow. So you can do it. But I just pull it out every year and I use it. But you can use anything. My whole point was to tell you, you can use a piece of paper. You can use the notes in your phone, because I do a combo in my phone. I have like my Christmas notes. But planning ahead helps you with getting to my other ones, will help you enjoy the holiday season because you've planned ahead.
Mm, if that makes sense. That's a great tip. So that's a solid number 5, starting out strong. What do you got at number 4?
Yeah. Okay. So going along with that, number 4 is meal prep and batch cook ahead. When you're making a Saturday morning breakfast casserole, make 2, wrap it up in tin foil, freeze it. All you have to do is pop it out, and then you don't have to worry about it on December 25th or 15th.
That's smart.
So we make lots of extra soups, lots of extra casseroles, because those are fun during the holidays. And even like making your homemade cinnamon rolls and getting them par frozen, getting them to that point so you have more time to be with the people you And then another one is, we love doing Christmas cookies, like taking, do you remember back in the day when all your neighbors would bring a gift to your house, a little plate of cookies? And I remember getting a bottle of Sprite, and it would have a sign that says, may your Christmas be merry and Sprite, and things like that. Is that just Utah, or did that happen where you grew up too?
Not the Sprite bottle, but the idea of bringing like a plate of homemade Christmas cookies definitely happened.
Okay, 100%. So the Christmas cookies are my favorite. Yeah. And so, but making that many different varieties all at once is hard. So you can start making your Christmas cookies in October and freezing them, and then you pull them all out and you have them all on the counter, and you can assemble those cute little plates for your neighbors. So
I love it.
That's brilliant.
Making ahead.
That's absolutely brilliant. Very I love
good.
That.
All right. What do you got at number 3?
Perfect. Number 3. So establishing what traditions matter to you and your family early in the season, getting rid of ones that just cause you undue stress and no one cares about anyway, and then keeping the ones that matter most. So I found this darling printable that my family each filled out, and it said like their favorite foods at Christmas, their favorite traditions, it was all of their favorite things. And I have 5 kids and a hubby, and they were all different. I was like, what? things that I thought were important, didn't care about. So why on there? You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
I love that. And I like the getting input from the family. That's smart.
Yeah. And can people find these like printables that you're talking about? Are these available on holidayfoodandfun.com?
I'll link everything for you guys. Yes. Perfect. And all of our favorite Christmas cookies and treats and our freeze ahead, all of that stuff I'll share.
Oh, please do. And we'll share with the audience as well. Because I know people are probably eager. They're probably Googling away as they're listening to this segment right now, trying like, where's this printable? Because I got to get on this right now. This is great. I feel like all of this is really like all about taking away stress and being able to be present in the holiday season, which is what we're all about. What do you got at number 2?
So, and with that, I wanted to show you one of, with that, before I go to number two, with the traditions, one of my favorite traditions that I started for you boys as well is the, my, our favorite book with the ornament. Do you remember that last year?
Yeah, that's awesome.
We've got them on the trees here in the studio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every night we sit down, and my kids actually said that was one of their favorite. It's still one of my favorites. My brother, my sister, we read a special book, and then there's an ornament that goes with it. Okay, this cost me like 10 cents to make. You know, but each book has an ornament, and then we have a special tree that has all of our book ornaments. And so each night the kids look forward to that.
That's cool.
So that's one of my favorite, just in case someone is like, okay, but I don't have any traditions. Share those with me, which is another thing I was going to say is that on Holiday Food and Fun, we're also sharing some of our favorite traditions. So if people are like, that's so great that you grew up with that magic, but I didn't. So what kind of traditions do you recommend?
Can I start? Yeah.
Is my favorite. And then we also have a couple others that we've shared over there, like a Bethlehem dinner that we do on Christmas Eve, which is so fun.
Cool. What's a Bethlehem dinner?
So that one is all candlelight. We have wood plates, and we have like these rolled down brown paper sacks filled with like nuts. And then we do like dolmas, like grape leaves. And I, the first year, my husband's like, where's the meat? So I didn't have chicken.
Give me some skewers.
Yeah. But now I do a roast chicken to make it more for him. But it's all these like kind of Bethlehem. And then we have a beautiful round candle, all different candles, and they all have different names of Christ because we're celebrating Christmas, and we just do this Bethlehem dinner, and it's in the candlelight on wood plates. It's so beautiful.
I love
Janice,
that.
Will you do me a favor the next time you have your Bethlehem dinner? Will you play the song We Three Cows from It's Cow Christmas during your Bethlehem dinner? Because it's all about the cows being there in Bethlehem. So I'm just saying,
there's some books that I think you'd like, because there's some books about like little lambs and cows that like warmed baby Jesus. It's so cute. So
I love
we'll play Cow Christmas.
Thank you. All right, what do you got at number two?
Sorry, I just thought of like, rather than Mary and Joseph, Mary and Joseph. I just had to get that out of my head.
Yes,
because it was gonna run around in my head for the rest of the day. I just had to get it out.
You had to say it.
I had to
release it.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. You need to tell them to make a Cow Christmas too, and they can have that.
100%.
So number two for me is documentary.
Did you know? I'm sorry. I'll stop now. All right, keep going, Janice. Sorry.
Number two is document the moments, but not like you might think. So everyone's taking pictures and video. Well, that's not very present. So my favorite thing is to have a Christmas journal, which I'm sending them to you guys. So you guys have your own. But it's a Christmas memory book. And so it's so cute. So, and you can do any. This one's on sale for $5 now. Like
really?
Yeah. And it's gorgeous. Look at this. So it has like haul out the holly. The first thing we did to celebrate Christmas in our home was blah blah blah. When we started playing Christmas music, here's how we decorated some of our decorations. And then it has the calendar. And then it goes on to like answer all these questions, like ways we celebrated Jesus' birth, our family celebrations, our favorite foods, events we did. But it's so cute. And it's a 5 years. So I have you.
That's
and then
cool.
5 years. So I find that taking pictures and videos are great, but the going back and listening to your voice in a journal is so memorable.
Yeah.
And you can pass it along to your kids too, you know?
That's amazing.
That is documenting the journey. And then my number one is be present in the moment for yourself and your family. And if you've done these things 5 through 2, if you've planned ahead, if you've meal prepped and gotten your cookies ready and frozen them, if you've established some traditions that matter and gotten rid of things that don't so you're not overwhelmed, if you've documented the moments and created those special moments in your Christmas journal, then number one, you can truly be present with the people that you love and enjoy the season. And I was going to say, if you guys have never seen that episode of The Office where Jim and Pam on their wedding day, they kept going, click. It was a mental picture. Instead of out the camera, it was a mental picture. And I know that we want to document photos and video too, but there's moments that really shouldn't be. They're meant to be for just your heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree. That's an incredible
tip. So great.
Yeah. I love that one.
That was a great list. Chanice, yeah. This has been, oh, excuse me. I got a little verklempt there. I was a little emotional with your list, which is great. That's what we love on this show. Chanice, thank you so much for being a supporter of ours and for being a friend and for helping us out so much. Everybody go check out, holidayfoodandfun.com. You can see the Instagram at holidayfoodandfun. Follow Chanice, give her some love. Everybody, let's give it up for Chanice Prost. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, Chanice.
We are so happy to have had you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's lovely to be here. Oh.
And Danny, what do you think? I hear that Chris might have a game for us today. Chris, you got a wheelie game for us today?
I do have a wheelie game. Let's play a wheelie game. So we have the trusted, iconic holiday foods wheel here.
Great.
I love the colors.
And we're doing overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated.
Love it.
Yeah. We'll maybe do what, like three spins maybe?
Yeah. Let's do three.
Yeah. Let's give it a go.
Here we go. Spiral cut ham.
Ooh, I love spiral cut ham.
Oh, that really small lunch that I had today is like, I'm like, ooh, I could really go for a nice...
It would have been better with some spiral cut
ham. I want like some spiral cut ham on some nice warm rolls with some mashed potatoes and some stuffing and maybe a little gravy. Ooh, and just you fold the ham so it's real thick, so you get a real thick bite of.
You know what's great about ham? Ham is good cold or hot.
That's true. We talked about it before. You like grab a little piece off and just sort of walk around the house late at night. You feel so like you're being bad.
With some cold ham.
There? Nothing.
Just eating ham.
Nothing.
I'm gonna go underrated.
I think it is
well respected, right? But I don't think it could possibly be respected enough.
Now, is it just straight up ham or is it honey baked ham?
Spiral cut, I think let's assume that it's honey baked.
Because
it's got some maple. It's got some
cinnamon. I feel like we don't chat enough about how great the combination of that sweet outside rind is.
Salty.
With the salty ham in the middle. It needs to be like a hero dish.
Yes.
It needs to have its own era.
Yes.
Like Swifties like to say.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say underrated. I agree with you. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. We love spiral cut.
Love it so much.
That was a good one.
All right, let's give it another spin.
Candy canes. This is a good one to talk about.
I agree.
This is a good one because I feel like candy canes get plenty of press.
So much press.
Candy canes are everywhere.
One of the most iconic things. They have their own decorations.
You
put
them
hanging on
trees. People put them in the yards. People eat them. They put them in drinks.
Yeah.
They put them in cookies.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Put them in bark.
Yeah.
But are they all that they're cracked up to be?
Ooh.
Truly cracked up to be.
To be, yes. I'm going to go overrated. Like, I'm just going to come out and just say it.
I would say I'm going to put them in between perfectly rated and overrated. So I'm agreeing with you that they are overrated, but they're not like, oh my God, candy canes are overrated. I don't think it's that, but I'd say that maybe a little overrated.
I think they're very overrated. I just
do not like the taste of peppermint.
I like the taste of peppermint. I guess for me, like the shape of it, like the end of it, like which end am I starting on?
Sure.
I don't know.
Very sticky.
They get very sticky, especially once you have children. Ugh. Like,
if I give
my 2-year-old anything that's like a lollipop form, like, this just happened recently where she's like, she really wants lollipops when we go to gymnastics. And so I'll give her one sometimes when, you know, if I just feel like she's earned one. But then I'll take her out of the back of the car about 5 minutes later, and literally the drool of the lollipop is all over her hands, all
everywhere.
Over her face. Literally, this little straps, you know, for the
it's
thing.
It's like they take it and they press it against every part of their face.
But what's, I don't know how, and she'll get through it in like 5 minutes. Meanwhile, my 5-year-old's like, nip, nip, and she's gotten through like, I don't know, 10% of her lollipop in the same amount of time, and my 2-year-old just like devoured the whole thing. So I don't know. I think they're overrated. I think they taste fine, but they're just not easy to consume, I don't think.
I don't know that I ever get, like, the way that we reacted to spiral cut ham. I've never seen a candy cane and been like, ooh,
they got
candy canes. You know, so I think I'm going to go just slightly overrated.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
One more.
Here we go. This is fun. Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, I know Eric's gonna love this one.
Roasted chestnuts.
Chestnuts roasted.
That's the only thing they got going for them. Is they're a major player in a great song.
Yeah.
But beyond that, for me, I'm going overrated.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever actually had roasted chestnuts.
Sure. You said you've had roasted like walnuts, pecans.
Yeah. Cashews.
Yeah.
Almonds. I don't think I've ever had roasted chestnuts.
Chestnut, yeah.
Do they, Chris, do you know, maybe Eric, you know, because you know, you've spent a lot of time in New York in the winter. Those carts that we've chatted about, mm-hmm. Nuts for Nuts, do they do chestnuts there? Or do they just do like the more common, like cashews? And
I don't think that the Nuts for Nuts people do chestnuts, but a lot of the other carts that have like hot dogs and like pretzels and stuff will have chestnuts there as well.
Roasted chestnuts.
One thing's for certain. If somebody can make a great hot dog, they can roast some great chestnuts.
They're definitely mutually exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these guys make great pretzels, yeah. Which means they probably roast great
probably
chestnuts.
Good
and they're probably
roasters.
Huge Nat King Cole fans,
yeah, yeah.
Too.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
But maybe I'll try it when I'm out there, you know,
see
in
you
like 10 days. I'll try to find some, and maybe I'll put it up on our Instagram.
Yeah,
and
but you got to listen to the song while you're eating them.
Oh, yeah. And now, will that boost up my feelings about
I'm
them?
I'm sure it will.
Should I sit by
it's a whole
an open fire?
Yeah, I think so.
I need to find someone named Jack.
Yeah.
Have him nip my nose while I'm at it.
My nose.
Midtown, I could probably do that.
That's pretty good. I'm sure you could find somebody named Jack
is
that will bite
Jack
you on the nose.
Will nip my nose.
Can somebody bite my nose?
It's like, I thought
is your name Jack? Keep moving.
I thought you'd never ask.
I'm Jack. I'll bite your nose.
That actually
come on
sounds
over.
Like a funny bit if some guy was just like, he's Jack Frost offering like nose nippings.
Yeah.
At the winter. Anyway, this is getting ridiculous.
That was good. Chris, thank you very much for the over-under. I like that game. We should do more of that.
We should do that.
Or not sure. Over-under. Perfectly rated, overrated.
I mean, it's kind of over-under.
It's kind of over-under.
But when you think over-under, you think gambling. Betting on sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before we get to our countdown,
yes.
I do want to chat about a film that is coming out this weekend on Hallmark Channel,
yes.
Which I'm excited about. And I think this is one of those films that's going to connect with a lot of Hallmark Channel movie fans. Because I feel
it's in
like
the pocket.
It's in the pocket. Anything that feels like it involves like love and a connection to like royalty.
Yes.
Feels like it is right in that Hallmark Channel movie pocket.
Last year, I think it was called The Royal Nanny.
Yes.
It was about the nanny that like had to watch the prince's kids or whatever.
But
and
she was like an MI
yeah, she was like,
agent
yeah,
who was
yeah.
undercover or
yes.
something like that.
That one was good. I like
it. Yeah. I'm excited about this one and we're seeing some familiar faces.
Yeah. What's it called?
So this is called A Not So Royal Christmas.
A Not So Royal. But
so
I bet it
will there be royalty involved?
I'm sure there will be.
Will there not be royalty involved? I mean, I think you throw the word royal in there, you have to assume
we have expertise.
There's going to be some royalty involved. So this movie stars a familiar face who we loved. I loved him in Jolly Good Christmas last holiday season, which remember they had the Windsor Wish, which I was like, is that a real thing? Is it not a real thing? And he had the shopper, Angie, who was helping him, you know, find the gift. But he's back again for another film set, looks like overseas, and A Not So Royal Christmas. We also have Brooke Dorsey, who's in the film as well. Basically, this is the way they describe it is tabloid journalist Charlotte is going to attempt to land an interview with a reclusive count. In response, the royal family has a groundskeeper pose as the count since the real one fled years ago.
Whoa.
Now, what I want to know about this is the count going to come back?
The one that fled.
The one who fled.
And is the groundskeeper, does he look similar to the count?
Right.
Like, do you ever see the movie Dave with Kevin Kline?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like the president, but he's like a presidential impersonator. And then he like goes to become the president.
It's so wild you're saying this. Have you seen the hero art for this movie?
No.
The guy who's in it looks like
Kevin Kline? He does.
Doesn't he look like Kevin Kline? Like it feels like it's got some of that Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was part of like the story behind it. But I'm curious, you know, is he going to come back? It feels like he's coming back because that's not Will Kemp.
No.
In that photo, and it's not Kevin Kline either. It's some other gentleman who looks like them. But I'm excited for this one. This one feels like it's got a lot of like mystery to it of like, and how's the count going to come back? And then does she fall in love with the groundskeeper? But then the count really
comes.
Does she get to write her story? What is the story end up becoming?
Does love get in the way?
I don't know. There's so many things that are involved here. And if the count comes back and she falls in love with the groundskeeper, but she marries him, then does she not become a part of the royal
We need answers. Hallmark, we need answers. We can't wait to see this.
Well, good news is we're going to get all of those answers this Saturday night at 8, 7 Central when a Not-So-Royal Christmas premieres. And what I love is like when I'm trying to like do research into like these films and like learn more about them, like we were just talking about the you know photo that I showed you, like the hero photo of them standing in front of this like beautiful estate. All of this is available on the Hallmark Movie Checklist app, which has just been a huge help for me all throughout the holiday season because 31 movies, as we've talked about, that's a lot to keep track of. And I love that I can go in and favorite ones if I see like some art that looks fun or a title that looks sort of fun. Or
set a reminder for yourself.
Set a reminder and write a review. Yeah. You know, we love sharing our voices with people. So I think that's a fun feature in there as well. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, which I'm sure you are, make sure you check out A Not-So-Royal Christmas and we'll find out what's going to happen. Charlotte, is she going off the groundskeeper?
Let us know.
I don't know.
We can't wait to see.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Check it out this weekend.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Danny, I think we should get to the countdown,
I'm so ready. Speaking of counts.
Count.
Let's get to the countdown.
That was good. That was seamless. I love it. Okay, folks, this is our 5 through 1 of top 10 songs about Santa Claus. As a reminder, as we always do, my 10 through 6 was Claus versus Claus by J.D. McPherson, Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Frank Sinatra, Is That You, Santa Claus by Louis Armstrong, Santa Can't You Hear Me by Kelly Clarkson and Ariana Grande, Santa's Coming For Us by Sia, and now we're to my number 5. This is yet another version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And this is a song that I have talked about on this countdown before. Not this countdown, but this show before.
Right.
And that's Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The live version, it's so good. As I mentioned before, just the way that he says, like, you've been good this year. Oh, that's not many. Not many. And Clarence is getting the new saxophone. And just the way that he's, like, responding to the crowd. And he's such a cool... I mean, Bruce Springsteen is the boss. He's the coolest rock star, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he would, like... I'm trying to think of the right word. Not lower himself, but, like, be vulnerable enough with himself to enjoy Christmas in like a very lighthearted, fun way and not be like, I'm a rock star. I'm too cool for this. You know, like he really gets into it and really, you can just picture him like with a Santa hat on, doing the whole thing, cut off sleeve shirt, but still being like the boss, you know. I just love this song. It helps that it was on the Very Special Christmas album that I grew up just sort of loving. But yeah, my number 5 is going to be the Bruce Springsteen version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Let's listen to a little bit of it right now. It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time?
You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clarence, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. Not many. You guys are in trouble out here.
How can you not get just jacked up for that song?
It's perfect. I feel like it's the best way to kick off our top 5.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's set... It has set the tone.
Yes.
All right. So high energy. All right. So recapping my 10 through 6, I led off at number 10 with Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag by K-Star. Number 9, I had Santa Baby by Michael Bublé. Number 8, I had The Man with All the Toys by the Beach Boys. Number 7, I had Santa Claus is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5. Number 6, I had Here Comes Santa Claus by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters. And at number 5... I got to go with a song that I knew a very specific part of it from one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yep.
But I never did the work to go find the song, but I found the song.
Okay.
And I want to play it for everybody right now. It is Hey Santa Claus by the Moonglows. Mm. Here we go. I mean,
that's good.
It's so good. Any song, as you know, and I'm sure our listeners who've been with us for years know, any song that gives love to the bass in the group.
Yes.
I'm all about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He just gets his moment to shine.
Yeah.
I love the moment when that song plays is when Clark goes shopping. You know, out at the department store, and it's just such a funny moment within the framework of that story. And I'm just so glad that I finally found it. It feels like it's got doo-wop elements to it. It feels like it's got a little bit of like sort of like the jazzy blues element to it as well. Anything that's like four dudes singing harmonies always connects with
feels
me.
Like it's on a street corner. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like I could picture those guys singing that song outside of the department store.
Yeah.
And frankly speaking, I hope I hear some doo-wop group
somewhere
this holiday season, standing somewhere singing that song. So, I got to give it up. If you have not, listened to that song recently, go look it up. It is Hey Santa Claus by the Moonglows.
I love that. I was kind of unfamiliar with that song, but I'm going to add
that
to my list.
It's so, so good. Yeah.
Okay. So my number four song is another version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Number four. And this is going to be the Michael Bublé version.
Okay.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
This is your fourth one, you said?
This is, I think, my third version
of it.
But we've got more to go.
We got more to go. Okay.
Got more to go. Okay, now the reason that this one is so high is literally for one tiny little part of the song.
Okay.
But it's so good, and it's maybe one of my favorite moments in any Christmas song. So I'm just going to jump right to that part to play for you.
Okay.
And you'll see why I love this song. Here we go.
I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming. I mean the big fat man with the long white beard. He's coming to town.
Wow. Oh, it's just the big fat man with the long white beard.
He's just like walking that bass
it's
line.
It's so good. As a former Barry Sax player, I love a good bass walk down.
Yeah.
And so, again, we've already established that I enjoy the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town. But they each have their own little nuances, and right. This one has that part. And I think I sing that little bit, like just a cappella as I walk through my day, at least once a day. At some point in my day, I go, you know, the big fat man with the long white beard is coming to town.
It's so good.
I love it so much. So that's going to be my number four selection, Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Michael.
So good. So good. All right. And my number four is a song that when I originally put my list together, it was number 10.
Mm.
Then it was nine.
Ooh,
then it was six. Then it was five. And it moved its way all the way up to four. Every time I would go through, because I've been working on this list, Eric, let me tell you, for probably like 2 or 3 months.
I know.
And I've been building this playlist on my Spotify. And every time, like, I'll hear a new song on the radio or, you know, I just would look another song up by Santa or one would pop in my head. I just kept plugging them in.
Can I tell you something? Interestingly, going off of what you're saying right
now.
Last night when I was putting my list together, I went onto Spotify and I searched songs about Santa. And the only playlist that came up was by Danny Jordan.
Are you serious?
And your playlist came up when I searched songs about Santa.
Did you save it?
I did.
I've got four saves.
So I did.
One is me.
One is
one is you. And I want to know who the other two people are out there. They're like, wait, somebody actually did this?
Yes.
But yeah, there's like, how many songs do I have? That's like almost 2 hours worth of songs about Santa Claus. And we'll chat more about them in the bonus. But do you know where I have things placed?
I didn't look in any kind of order. I did go through it just to see like what songs were in there.
Okay. Because what I did is like I just kept dropping songs in and then I went on the desktop version of Spotify and you can drag and drop and I just kept moving them around. And this song just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And it's Sia. Santa's Coming for Us. You know, it was in your top 10. Every time, it's just so darn good. Every song on that album is feel good. You know, it's no secret to people who love our show that Candy Cane Lane by Sia is one of my...
Sing it for the people. You know they want to hear it.
Take a trip down Candy Cane Lane with me. I haven't done that in a while.
The people were missing it.
That is the only thing about Candy Canes that's underrated, is Sia's version of Candy Cane Lane. As far as I'm concerned. The album is great. You look at the artwork for the album, like her with the red and green wig, it just, and the bows in her hair, it just feels so like big and splashy and whimsical. And every one of her songs has that vibe to it. So at number four, I got to give it up for my BFF. She doesn't know it, but we are BFFs. Sia, and that's Santa's Coming for Us.
Nights are getting shorter now, hot chocolate. Fills the air and Christmas cheer does too. Picking out your Christmas tree so loudly. The joy this time it brings to you.
So good.
You cannot listen to that song and not smile. You cannot listen to Candy Cane Lane and not smile. Snowman is like, it's not necessarily like a smiley bop, but it's just like, it's a take on sort of like a ballad at Christmas, but that is like about a snowman. I just love the quirkiness. I love how different it is. It doesn't feel like all the other Christmas music that we know and love. So I want to give it up to Sia. And that bop, Santa's Coming for Us.
So good. Strong, strong. I love that it climbed the charts.
Dude.
Slowly.
I kept telling my wife, I was like, it's up to number 7 now. Because I'll like debate, like I'll be listening to it and she'll like come into like the bathroom while I'm getting ready. And I'm like, I don't want to spoil anything for you. And she goes, this is one of the perks of being married to one of the hosts is I get to find out soon.
Ahead of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. All right. My number 3. I can't believe we're up to number 3. Wow. It's yet another version of Santa Claus is Coming.
Is that 3 in a row?
That's 3 in
5,
a row.
5-4-3?
It's 5-4-3, and so I have 4 total.
Wait, what was your number 6?
Number 6 was Santa's Coming for Us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I had the Sinatra version at 9.
Oh, copy that.
And then I had 5-4-3 were all versions.
Okay.
So this is the last one on my list. And this is the version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town by the Crystals, which are a Phil Spector produced band. They had the famous song, And Then He Kissed Me, that sort of like very late 60s, early 70s kind of vibe, and the reason I like their version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town is when I listen to it, I feel like I'm in a Martin Scorsese movie. I feel like I'm in Goodfellas in some way. I don't know if this song is in Goodfellas, but it feels like it is during right after they've done the Lufthansa heist and they all got a bunch of money and it's Christmas time and Robert De Niro's like, what are you spending money for? I told you couldn't spend money. the fuzz is going to be on to us. It gives me such that New York kind of 70s, late 60s kind of feeling. I love it. Let's listen to
I don't think I've ever heard this.
Oh, you? I'm sure you have.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus got a shot.
It's so good.
Yeah.
This song is so good.
It's a great song.
Oh my gosh. Da-da-da. Oh, I love it.
That is such a great version of that song.
It is. It doesn't it feel like you're in you're walking, it has upbeat energy. It feels like I got a bag from Macy's and a bag from Bloomingdale's and I'm walking down the street and it's 1969 and I got
a long trench coat on
or something. Oh, it's so good.
Scarf, all the things. Yes. I got to add that to my playlist. I'm going to take some of your stuff and I'll do what we normally do is I'll build a playlist on our Christmas countdown page on Spotify and I'll put it in the episode notes so people can go check out all of our selections. All right. Number 3 for me, I had to include this group on the list. This is another one that just kept climbing, climbing the charts. Originally, my top 5 was a lot of classics. And then they started sort of shuffling down as I realized. Because in the beginning, I was like, well, I don't want to insult the classics, the legends, the icons. But I was like,
Your list.
What do I
want
to listen to the most? Yeah. You know, as we say on Theater Countdown, you know, your list, your life.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. Just get it listed.
That's, ooh, I like that.
That's what Ben Cameron says on Theater Countdown. I might have to steal it. So I'm going to go with a song by Pentatonix.
Yeah. They've got no love so far.
Up on the Housetop.
That's a good one.
It is, right? It's so good. When we think about Up on the Housetop, at least for me, I feel like I've chatted about this before, is like I think about like junior high, intermediate band.
Totally.
Your white shirt, your black tie, or your red tie red that you wear tie, specifically yeah, yeah. for that, with your black pants,
yep.
and you're like waiting backstage, and you're so nervous, and you got the snare going, you know, sort of the situation. Like that's what I think I like most closely associate with this. It just feels like a dated song.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Pentatonix does it,
and they take it over,
they breathe some incredible life into it. So let's take a little listen to Up on the Housetop by Pentatonix. Up on the housetop.
Mm. Up on the housetop. Thank you. Yeah. Instant. Up on the housetop. Up on the housetop. Click, click, click. Come on. Up on the housetop. Ring the prize. Out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with lots of toys. All for the little ones. Christmas joys. Ho, ho, ho.
I love that syncopation.
Yeah.
But the part I love, I think the most in that song, is when they break it down. They go, we're talking about Dasher, Dancer, Prancer,
yes.
Vixen, Clown. Oh, oh. Like he gets all, it's just that song. I feel like just it is high energy. And it's like you said, stank face.
Yeah.
From the very beginning all the way through the end. And I, you know, I think what I realized, you know, when I started putting this list together is like when you put this type of list, you start just searching Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But there's so many songs that don't have Santa in the,
title
that are about Santa, and that is definitely one of them. So you can't have a music list on our show and not have Pentatonix. Absolutely. So that's why I had them at number three.
I love that. All right, my number two.
Yes.
When I was reading my list to Sophie last night, I was like, what do you think? Is this a good list? As I was going through it and I was up to number two and I hadn't said this one yet, I saw Sophie's eyes getting bigger and bigger, like, where are you going to put this song? It better be near the top because it's a favorite of ours.
Can I guess?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think it is?
Is it Harry Connick Jr.?
Not in this slot.
Okay.
This is by Meghan Trainor.
Oh.
And this is I Believe in Santa. It's the one that goes,
yes.
Santa is coming. Santa is real. Oh, it's so good. It's just
I don't have that on this playlist.
Such a bop.
Oh, I got to add. What's it called? Santa?
I Believe in Santa.
I Believe in Santa. How did I not include that
and
on this playlist?
Let's give people. You know what's interesting is when I searched Santa.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at all these songs. I went down very, very far on the Spotify list with just the word Santa to see what would come
up.
And I never saw this. I had to search it out. Santa, Meghan Trainor to find it.
Do you think it's because Santa is at the end of the title?
Maybe.
And they default to like that, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah,
all
maybe.
Those that, you know,
yeah,
I don't
want
to spoil any others
about
that might
like
be coming up.
Santa Clara and Santa Monica, and, you know. All right, this is I Believe in Santa by Meghan Trainor. Get ready.
Oh, I'm ready to dance. Yeah.
Santa is
it's
oh my
so
gosh.
Good.
You know what it feels like? A song that would be like in a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Like how epic sort of the start of it is.
Yeah.
Like if there was like a Bond
like an opening
Christmas
sequence.
Movie, I feel like
that I would see.
100%. Hallmark Channel needs to do a Bond Christmas movie.
What would it be called? 00 December, or like,
oh gosh, that's a good question.
007 Seven Heaven, double
heaven. When I see their smiling faces smiling back at me, Seventh Heaven.
But what it like, all the Bond movies have like, gold, they're
like
always
Golden
a
Eye,
little,
and
little punny, a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah, what was the one where he go to the Casino Royale?
Yeah,
We'll workshop it. We'll think about it.
If you have an idea of what a Bond Christmas movie should be titled.
A Very Bond Christmas.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah, that's pretty good there.
Yeah, that feels pretty good. I was trying to think of something that come off of Bond where it's like a pun, like bonbons or once a Bond.
Once a Bond a time.
There's something like that, you know.
Once a Bond a time in the North Pole. That's good.
That song is so good. I can't. Yeah. I didn't even think to put that one on the list. I just added it to the playlist that four people have saved, including you and me. Yeah. All right. This next one, this was one started out like higher, like more like 8, 9 at the beginning and just kept climbing. And that's an artist that I really feel like I haven't talked enough about on this show. And it's Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
The song, Santa Claus is Back in Town.
Oh, okay. I have a different Elvis one in my bonus.
Yes. This one, oh my gosh. Let's just play it and then let's talk about it because it's so good.
Christmas, oh, this is a great one. Yes. Yes. Now, is this the one that's in Christmas Chronicles?
It's in a movie. I know it's in a movie for sure, but it wouldn't be. Maybe
you, you
it
keep
at the
talking.
Top?
I'm gonna look.
Is it
up.
At the top of the movie?
I'm thinking when he's in jail.
Oh, and does he? And the one he actually sings that Kurt Russell sings. You might be right.
He sings.
I've only seen the movie once. I got to go back and watch it again. But Elvis's Christmas album is just so darn good.
Yeah.
You know, we were just down in Memphis recently doing the St. Jude thing, and I really wanted to go to Graceland. But then I was looking, did you know that Graceland does like a specific, like they deck the whole place out for the holiday season?
I did not know that.
And when I was talking to somebody down there, like, oh my gosh, like you have to book it so soon because it is the most popular thing. Like people travel from all the world, around the world to see all the trees that they put in the house and the lights on the house and all over the property. That album by Elvis is so darn good. And I love the way the opening of the song sort of feels a little gospel at the top, but then it just gets into this like blues rock. And I just feel like you are hearing like Elvis's true essence and his true voice, shining through in that song. Love the music, love the arrangement, love the performance. So that's why it's my number two.
I love that.
Did you find?
I didn't. I found the one that he did with Darlene Love in the second movie, but I'm trying
to. Okay. Santa Claus is Back in Town. I'm just going to type it into Google here real quick and see if we can find anything. Okay. So I found some movies that the song appeared in. It was in Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Fred Claus.
Nice.
Miracle on 34th Street, the version with Richard Attenborough.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
A movie called Crazy. All capitals, C-R-A-Z-Y. Uh-huh. The Long Kiss Goodnight, Bad Santa 2, and The Christmas Chronicles. It says it's in there as well. So it must play maybe elsewhere in the song, in the movie. But it's amazing. Obviously, Elvis is an absolute icon. And I just love that song so much. That's my number two, Santa Claus is Back in Town.
I love that. All right, where to my number one? Now, I could have gone with this song. It was Christmas Eve and all through the barnyard there was nothing shaking, not even lard. Livestock and strung on a rusty nail.
Oh my gosh.
Calves were snoozing their little straw bed while fish and salt licks danced in their hands.
Santa cow. I could have
frankly,
gone with
I'm
that.
I'm shocked that it's not your number one. And slightly disappointed.
I know. I thought about it and I'm sorry, Rob Barrett Jr. and Terry Asau. It's number one in my heart. But I felt like I had to be respectful.
Asau? Do you think that was a stage name?
E-S-A-U.
Because Asau.
Like a cow.
Asau?
Maybe.
That's got to be a stage name. I just thought of that. All these times you've said that. And because Asau?
Asau, yeah. Could be a cow. Mm. All right. But this is going to be a Harry Connick Jr. song.
Okay.
You know I love Harry Connick Jr. You know I love this album in particular of When My Heart Finds Christmas. And on that album, this might be my favorite song. On that album, just in general, let alone that it's about Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I love this song. Whenever I get asked to perform at like a benefit or a Christmas concert or anything like that, and they say, hey, can you sing us a Christmas song? This is usually the song I sing because A, I love it. It's fun to sing. I think I sing it well. And it's also not super well known. So right. I kind of like to like give people like, oh, I never heard that song before. And that's It Must Have Been Old Santa Claus.
So good.
We'll listen to just a minute of it. But if you've not listened to this whole thing, because it's a very story-driven song, so you really should listen to the whole thing if you've never listened to it. But here's a little bit of It Must Have Been Old Santa Claus.
I think I saw old Santa through my window Christmas Eve. My eyes were really droopy, but I really do believe it must have been old Santa. I saw his big red hat, and I know my mom and dad can't buy like that.
No way. I know my mom and dad can't fly like that.
It's so good. It's basically, if you've never heard this song before, it's about a little kid who doesn't really believe in Santa, and he thinks it's his mom and dad who are playing Santa.
Right.
And then one day, he sees the sleigh fly through his window, land on his roof. He goes up, he rides all around town, sees all of his town and his school and his movie theater of his town, and he has this great time, and Santa gives him his hat. It's so magical. It's just so joyful and happy, and I absolutely adore that song. It was easy to put that number one on my list. It Must Have Been Old Santa Claus by Harry Connick Jr.
Is there a music video for it? Because it feels so like it just lends itself
Somebody
to like a really great story.
You know how people have been making music videos of the Sinatra where they're like animating like Sinatra?
Dude, they're incredible.
They should do one of those for It Must Have Been Old Santa Claus.
I wanted to like do a countdown on the show that was like Christmas music videos, but I was like, it's so visual. Yeah, I feel like, and people aren't as familiar with it as they are like with Christmas movies. But yeah, I originally had it in my top 10, but I was like, Eric's going to have it.
You know, I was going
to
do it.
I don't need to have it on my list at all. It'll be represented. All right. So we've reached that point where I'll reveal my number one. But before I do that, I want to remind you guys to subscribe if you're not already doing so on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please make sure you smash that subscribe button. You can also follow us on social media at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, at Xmas Pod on the X. And if you want to watch the full episodes, which are super fun, because I will cut in those music videos from time to time when we do the music countdowns. You can go to youtube.com/countdownnetwork to do that. And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to rate and review. And if you want even more countdowns, please make sure to check out our other spinoff show, Disney Countdown, and subscribe to our bonus episodes so you can get even more fun. All right, so my number one, I think you are going to approve of this pick. And I was kind of shocked that I put it here. I put it at one and I was like, it's going to come down. It's probably going to end up around like three or four. But I kept moving songs around and I was like, this song just makes me feel so darn good. And it was like hard. Part of me was like, how do I not put a Sinatra or a Dino or a Bing at number one? But I'm going J.D. McPherson. Santa's Got a Mean Machine.
That's a good one.
It's such an incredible song, and it's just like I kept trying to like I was listening to all the songs in my top 10 over and over again, and I was like, can they surpass it, can they unseat it? And it just wasn't happening. I kept listening to it over and over again. I was listening to it on my playlist. I put his vinyl on the other night, and every time that song comes on, I just groove, man. And I'm just like dancing around the house, I'm dancing in the shower, wherever I'm at when that song comes on, it immediately makes me want to move. And I just want to give love to JD, because I think Socks is such a phenomenal album. And, you know, we talk about all the classics, but I want to get as many people to go buy this vinyl, stream this album, as many people as possible.
Make him huge.
Because it is so darn good.
Yes.
It's so darn good. So let's take a little listen to Santa's Got a Mean Machine by JD McPherson.
This part.
Santa's got a mean machine. Santa's got a mean machine. It's the lowest, leanest sleigh that you ever see. Oh, well, Santa went and chopped him up a mean machine.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I mean, come on. That
so
just,
good.
I, I can't imagine anyone out in the world listening to that song being like, nope.
Yeah. That's, 1-star review.
That's trash. Yeah. How dare he put that at number one? Never. And if you don't like it, I want to know why.
Yeah.
Because it just is feel good. The piano's great on it. The guitar's
not good. Not make me happy.
Me no likey.
Me no likey.
Many people, including me.
Including me, dislike.
Dislike this song. No, it is incredible. JD's phenomenal. I'm so grateful that you introduced him to me and the show.
We should reach out through Instagram to JD McPherson, because I feel like he's not that huge of a star. And if we say, listen, man, we've got this Christmas podcast and we've been talking about you for 3 years about how great you are. Come and just tell us a little bit about how you made songs. We got to
make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna send him a message tonight.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Wouldn't that be cool to have him on the finale this season? I mean, we had Howie Mandel. If we can get Howie Mandel, I feel like we can get...
We had Rob Barrett Jr.
Yeah, it's a good point. Doesn't get much higher than that. Exactly, right?
All right, folks, we've done it. We have reached the end of our top 10 songs about Santa. We loved this list. We hope you enjoyed it as well. If there's any songs that you feel like we missed,
that we Christmased. We don't say that anymore on this show.
If there's anything that we Christmased, make sure you send it to us in a DM or a message or in a review. We're so appreciative for all the time that you guys spend with us and the love and the support that you've given us. So,
yeah.
Thank you for that. We love you. We really do. And we are, folks, we are in a matter of hours heading into December. So this is exciting.
Depending on when you're listening to
this. That's right. It might already be December.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. But we are going to close this episode out how we always do by saying a very simple and a very loving and a very heartfelt Merry Christmas.
And Happy Holidays.
And we will see you on the next one. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.